Okay, we were learning the laws of Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur atones and doesn't, and we were in the middle of the Mishnah on Yuma Daf Pei Hei Yomid Beis. And the Mishnah continues, Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who at one point was the Nasi, the head of the high court, he was 10 generations down from Ezra the scribe, Ezra the rabbi, the sofer, and he taught the following. It says in the verse, Mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem titaru, from all of your sins before Hashem you will become pure. So where do you put the comma in that sentence? Ordinarily we read it as Mikol chatotechem, pause, from all of your sins, comma, or semicolon, lifnei Hashem titaru, it is before Hashem that you will become pure. Taught Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that you should put the comma after the words lifnei Hashem. From all of your sins before Hashem, comma, you will become pure. That teaches us, Averot ben Adam namakom, Yom Kippurim mechaper. Yom Kippur atones for sins specifically that are between man and his creator. Averot ben Adam lechaverot, en Yom Kippurim mechaper. But Yom Kippur will not atone for one's sins, ad shiratzet chaverot, until he appeases his friend. And the concluding line of the Mishnah is the famous sentence of Rabbi Akiva, which actually became a song. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechem Yisrael. Says Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Akiva, praised are you, Israel. Lifnei mi atem mitaharim umi metaharetchem. Before who do you become pure? And who is the force that purifies you? Avichem shebashamayim. It's your father up in heaven. Shenemar. What's the verse? It says, I will throw pure waters upon you. Now you know where that comes from, right? You guys know that there are places in the world where they sprinkle water and they say that's holy water. So the truth is, that's a verse in Ezekiel. God says He will sprinkle pure waters upon us and that will purify us. And the verse says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. The verse in Jeremiah says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. So the literal meaning of the verse is, Mikveh comes from the word tikva, hope. Mikveh Yisrael, the hope of Israel, is Hashem. But our sages understood it to be a play on words. Ma mikveh meter tatmeim, the word mikveh could also mean an enclave, a place where water stands. The word, when God created land, so it says God made a bath for the waters, an enclave for the waters. That's called ulimikveh hamayim, that enclave where all the waters stand. That's what we call the seas, right? So from our perspective, not from God's perspective, when we have a body of standing rainwater, what do we call that? A mikveh. A mikveh is a standing body of rainwater. You know that if a mikveh is streaming, if you have water entering and water leaving, the mikveh is disqualified. Rainwater will not purify if it's not standing. There was a story of a mikveh where, not so long ago, it was Yom Tov night, and the system was a computerized system, and someone forgot to program the computer correctly. And on Yom Tov night, the water starts running. So the faucet turns on, and the exit hatch slides open. And on Yom Tov night, the mikveh is running. You know, they're cleaning, the computerized system cleans out the mikveh. So water's streaming out, and water's streaming in. And a woman comes in to immerse Yom Tov night. The woman in charge of the mikveh runs out to the rabbi and says, what am I supposed to do? The computer started running, and it's Yom Tov. So they caught the woman who had immersed in that mikveh, and they said to her, lady, we're sorry. When you immersed in the mikveh, it wasn't kosher. Because a mikveh is not kosher when the water is streaming through it. You had new water coming in, you had old water going out, and that's not a kosher mikveh. So the word mikveh means an enclave where you have standing water. So the verse that says mikveh Yisrael Hashem comes from the word tikva, kiva, hope. the hope of Israel is God. But our sages understood it like a mikveh, like standing water that purifies. Just as the water purifies the defiled, so too God purifies Israel. So that's the play on words our sages learned, and that's the concluding words of the Mishnah. We're going to skip into the Gemara. And we had said in the Mishnah that Yom Kippur atones together with tshuva. So the Gemara says, is our Mishnah arguing on the opinion of Rebbe? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said that it doesn't matter if you did tshuva or you did not do tshuva, Yom Kippur atones. There are a few sins that Yom Kippur will not atone for. If a person says, I don't care for the yoke of heaven. If a person comes and teaches things in the name of the Torah that are untrue, he says, I'll tell you a new pshat in the Torah. And his pshat has nothing to do with the tradition and the truth of the Torah. If a person says, I won't circumcise my kids, I don't want to have a circumcision. So there are certain key mitzvos that Yom Kippur does not atone for. But other than that, Yom Kippur atones even without tshuva. For these key sins, there I say tshuva is required. So does our Mishnah argue on Rebbe? The Gemara asks. Answers the Gemara, no. Maybe when our Mishnah said that tshuva together with Yom Kippur atones, it was telling you that tshuva without Yom Kippur does not atone. But maybe Yom Kippur without tshuva does. So the Gemara leaves it hanging. Maybe our Mishnah disagrees with Rebbe, and maybe not necessarily. Meaning when the Mishnah came along and said, it's only when you have tshuva coupled with Yom Kippur that you gain atonement, was the Mishnah coming the way we read it to the exclusion of Yom Kippur without tshuva? Or perhaps the Mishnah was coming to the exclusion of tshuva without Yom Kippur? So the Gemara leaves it hanging. Maybe the halacha is like Rebbe, that Yom Kippur can atone for most sins without any additions. What does that mean? Yes?
Does anyone maybe comment and say that there's maybe different levels of tshuva, and Yom Kippur gives you a certain status of tshuva that would be that much better if you actually did real tshuva atonement or something like that? Is there...
Very nice.
Or maybe so, there's certain sins that, whether you did tshuva or didn't tshuva, doesn't matter, you're clean, but not every, that's certain types of avirot or something with
Okay, so that's an excellent point. So we have to see, how do we rule on this Mishnah? How does this play itself out now? We saw an interesting discussion here, right? So, let's see how the Rambam rules on this Mishnah. We're opening to the Rambam, the laws of tshuva. The Rambam writes, nowadays, we don't have a temple, we don't have an altar, so the only way to gain atonement is tshuva. Tshuva can bring a person atonement even if he did sins throughout his life. If he does tshuva, then he can gain atonement. And then the Rambam quotes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Rambam says, and the awesomeness, the might of Yom Kippur also grants atonement when you did tshuva. As the verse says, on this day God will atone for you. So the Rambam seems to bring Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. He says, the might of Yom Kippur gives you atonement, but then he adds a nuance. He says, with tshuva. So wait a second, so what do I need Yom Kippur for? You just told me that tshuva alone gives me atonement. Now you're telling me Yom Kippur with tshuva gives me atonement, right? So what did the Rambam mean to say? Good question? Fair question? If tshuva alone works, so what does the Rambam mean? Yom Kippur is so awesome that with tshuva you gain atonement. Okay, so the truth is we need to learn this with a little bit more depth. We'll learn a few commentaries now, but it seems like you guys don't have koch. I think we're going to push off this to two Thursdays from now. To be continued. We'll leave us hanging with the question. We'll say bracha achrona, and we still have to address your question with part three. So now we have the introduction. We saw the Mishnah. We saw Rebbe's opinion. We saw the Rambam. Now we have to understand Like he said, maybe there's more than one level of tshuva. Maybe we're talking about different sins. What is the Rambam talking about? So this is where we will pick up, Bezat Hashem, in 2 weeks. Because next week, I think, we'll have a short night.